The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content. Sorry, guys, you are on your own.
This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
Break down. Yeah, not the normal intro for the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network, 1500 AM, the website federalnewsnetwork.com. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. So the weird, well, I wouldn't say weird music, just different music for kind of a different show, Kevin. Hard to say what this show is going to be. Kind of the feel of the show, right? So 28-13 loss for the Redskins Monday night against the Philadelphia Eagles. And what just turns out to just be an odd season because, again, and I said this a couple of seconds before we actually started the show, that this is going to be kind of a different, weird kind of show because you look at the results of the game. Okay, 28-13. Redskins just one game out of first place, tied with the Eagles for second place. But yet it feels as if they're, you know, they might as well be 2-7 for the most part, right?
Yeah, it's I guess things
Although
happen.
I guess at this point in the season, they'd be 2-10. But go ahead.
Yeah. But it would 2-7, 2-10 for all practical purposes, the same thing. But
right.
What's weird about this is, well, number one, that sense of deja vu that we talked about on the last show, the Groundhog Day, this thing repeating itself where we're hopeless at this time of the season. We don't see the team growing or improving, and we're back to where we are. But what's different about this particular instance is we're still in it. And we're not in first place. For the first time this year.
For the first time all year.
We're not in first place.
Or tied for first place.
Oh, right,
which is
so interesting. But we're still in it. And in it deeply.
Right. Well, and we talked about this last week that, you know, you can't get too down off of emotional losses. And, you know, I think the reason why it's as if, okay, the Skins, what, one game back out of first place from the Cowboys does not feel like they're in it. I think it has to do with the fact that you've got both of your quarterbacks out. And Mark Sanchez now, and Josh Johnson apparently now, being the quarterback. By the way, just read, on the, wire here that, look, I sound like I'm a 1970s reporter. Just read on the wire.
That's right.
Alex Smith dealing with a leg infection after surgery. And so who knows what, he may not be able to play ever again, not necessarily because he broke his leg, but because infection after the surgery. And we talked about this before with things with the Redskins training staff, is that you got these professionals getting paid, I would imagine, hundreds of thousands of dollars to do one thing, take care of the player's physical needs and concerns. And how does he get this leg infection after surgery?
I won't go off on a tangent here. We're going to go back to what we were talking about, like the reason for hope for this season. But if you look at the same wire I did, it's a long wire, first of all, but if you're looking at the same one, what Coach Gruden said was the family and his wife and so requested that we keep this matter private, and we're going to honor that.
Mm-hmm.
My first reaction was, I didn't know they could do that.
Right.
You know, if that was the case, they said, oh, well, we would love to tell you, but his wife and his cousin said that we can't talk about it. If that was the case, I would use that all the time,
all
right?
The
you
time.
Know, hey,
yeah.
You know, hey, you got arrested for, you know, robbing a 7-Eleven and, you know, running through a red light and, passing the stop school bus. Well, you know, I would talk about it, but my family, you know, due respect to the family, we request that we don't say anything about it.
No, absolutely. And it's really interesting because I don't think I've ever heard that used before as an excuse.
Can they do that?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, I'm not sure, like, can, you know, and the question is not can they do that? Can they not do that? Like, I think they actually can do that.
Well,
I don't think
know,
that's against any kind of legal.
First of all, you know, we do not understate the seriousness of the situation. We're talking about the man's health and well-being here, right? You know, we don't make lightly of that, but a week ago when he had a broken leg, they were just talking about it all the time. Right?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So what's the threshold? A broken leg? Oh, yeah, you can talk about it. Infection? Nah. You know, gag order. I don't think they can do that. I really don't think they can do that, right? But I think it's the media in this area who stand. We care about Alex Smith as a football player and as a human being.
Absolutely.
But don't tell us, well, we don't want to talk about it. You got to talk about it. He's a public figure. Okay, just going
well,
off.
Because you talk about everything else. So here's what I want to do, Kevin. Like you said, it's going to be a weird kind of a strange show. A little little different from the rest of the federal football reports that we've done here on Federal News Network. Again, if you don't know the frequencies, how are you listening to us now? 1500 AM, federalnewsnetwork.com. Give us reasons, besides the fact that they're just one game out, to be hopeful. What's making you hopeful about the team this week as they've got the 4-8 Giants coming up?
Here's the biggest thing, and this is going to sound strange coming from me. Mm-hmm. The biggest reason.
Yeah, because you're usually not the one bringing hope.
That's right. But the biggest reason I have hope is the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay.
You know
Please
why?
Explain.
If you look at Dak Prescott, mm-hmm. Dak Prescott was the third string quarterback in this team.
Right. Right.
Tony Romo was the starter, and was it Kellen Moore that was the, with the backup? Tony Romo got hurt in the preseason. Mm-hmm. Kellen Moore was scheduled to start in the beginning of the season. He got hurt. Dak Prescott had to start. And I believe as a rookie, he led his team to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, you know, it's time for these boys to just suck it up. I don't want to hear this nonsense. I don't care about, yes, it's Mark Sanchez, right? But at least he's a veteran. The Cowboys had a rookie.
He's also been to an AFC championship game with apparently a team just good enough to get him there. Now, is that the only reason that you have to be
That's helpful? The main reason. That's, you know, cause, you know, I heard so many Sanchez jokes and the butt fumble and so on and so forth. To tell you the truth, I didn't know what that was. I had to go back and look at it. And
really?
I said to myself, yeah.
You forgot about that?
No, I didn't see it. I didn't know.
Oh,
you know, I heard the jokes.
Never knew it existed.
I've seen worse.
Right. Yes.
I've seen worse. So, yes, there's optimism. And we aren't out of it. We're not, like, trying to get into the playoff. We're in it right now. If the playoffs were to start tomorrow, we skipped a couple of things. but we'd be in it, right? So the team's destiny is in its own hands. They control their destiny. They have the opportunity to do something about it.
Yeah.
Whether they're going to or not. You know?
Well, that's a good point. I mean, you know, look, with the schedule being the way that it is, that yes, things may seem bleak. Things may seem as if, oh boy, here we go again, you know, that the season's over. But the truth of the matter is the season is not over. The Redskins are 6-6. The Cowboys are 7-5. And again, we're talking about reasons to be hopeful. That's one game back. I believe Dallas and Philadelphia has to play each other. And so one of them's going to fall. If the Eagles win and the Redskins win, you know, we've got a 3-way tie right now for the NFC East again.
Yeah, I don't know who to root for, man. You know, but one thing.
Well, I mean, you've got to root for the Eagles. You know.
Yeah, okay, if I have to.
Well, number
yeah.
one, you've got to root for the Redskins to beat the Giants.
That's like, the key. That's
you gotta
the key.
Take care of business. If take care of business. You'll be all right.
We can't get mad at somebody else for not taking care of business for us. We can't get mad at the Saints because they didn't bring their A game, right? And the Cowboys, being the Cowboy fans that they are, you know, the Cowboys that they are, they did us dirty. It's in our own hands. And that's the thing that's why I'm not totally optimistic because they haven't given me any indication in the past 4.5 years that they could do something different.
Right. And speaking of doing something different, what's different about this defense now? Why is the defense that seemed to be so dominant early in the season now seems to be, you know, ran up and down the field on, you know, pass defense seems to be suffering? What is it or what's being done differently right now with the defense that's got these boys playing so differently?
Got an answer for that one, too. Mm-hmm. I blame the late Steve Jobs and Apple.
Okay.
Yeah, because see what happens is, right, like Jonathan Allen didn't play a whole season last year. Deron Payne was a rookie. Mm-hmm. Now everybody got iPads and they got film on these dudes. So it's because of iPads that they can watch their games and see their tendencies, right? And knowing that this is happening, any other defensive coach would say, okay, they got the film on you guys. We're going to have you guys do something different. We'll have you come from certain angles. Maybe we have you all drop back in pass coverage, do a little zone blitzing or something different. But you just can't do the same thing with these guys over and over and over again and expect different results. Clinical insanity right there, you know. And the Falcons exposed them. They exposed what was wrong. And the weakness on this team is pass coverage by the linebackers.
Okay.
We're weak in pass coverage from the linebackers. There's not enough team speed there. Ryan Kerrigan can't cover anybody. Preston Smith is borderline. He's having a pretty good year, all things considered, right? You know, You know, Zach Brown was a tackling machine at one time, but he was never a stud in pass coverage. And Mason Foster, I applaud your effort, but you know, some things are just physical limitations, right? So to answer your question, to make a long answer, even longer, teams have the book on this team now. Other teams have the book on this team now. So it's up to our defense to make adjustments, to change, to alter, to get creative, to play desperate. You know, this move about trying to bat the ball out and the guy gets 5-6 extra yards when you're trying to knock the ball out of his hand, that's
kinda
old.
We gotta stop doing that.
Let's start putting the guy down on the ground. On the ground. Let's try that. Then strip the ball out, you know. Sometimes, and you know what? There used to be a time where people didn't, like, try to create fumbles. They just hit somebody hard enough.
And made them fumble.
You know? Let's try that.
Exactly.
Let's try that for a while. So there's still hope. They can do it if somebody else besides me and you talk about it and tell them to do these things.
Well, here's the thing. You talked about doing something different. Let's talk about offense, who's definitely going to have to do something different. I want to get to – well, you know what? Let's start here. Adrian Peterson, man. The old man still has – wheels hot.
How about that? And you notice, I guess other teams knows, everybody was talking about him breaking down and injuries, and other teams didn't give him a look. Nobody on that Eagles defense could catch him.
Nobody could catch him.
And they were trying.
They were trying
really hard to catch
him. Couldn't do it. And he could have ran for another 100 yards and no one would have came close to him.
Interestingly, though, and you have quarterback, you have, you know, the quarterback situation, quarterback's injured, and third string quarterback, and it would seem like they would try to take the ball out the Eagles' hands and, like, maybe take the air out the ball a little bit, give it to a confident running back. Mm-hmm. You know, they ran out the I formation when he had the 90-yard run. All of a sudden, they're giving him to him in shotgun again. He's sweeping sideways again, and that didn't work. Yeah. Then they take him out the game. I looked up at one time in a crucial point in the game, and Adrian Peterson and Jordan Reed were standing on the side.
We've seen this so much. No, Kevin, we've talked about this several times on the Federal Football Report that – you know, we've seen several crucial third down plays and crucial moments of the game, and you look up, Peterson's not in there, Reed's not in there. And you're thinking, well, who else could you actually want to give the ball to if you're not giving it to Reed or to Peterson in these third down situations? It's crazy. Now, how do you think the offense needs to adjust with Mark Sanchez now being the quarterback?
Okay, I think that they don't have to suppress the offense. Mm-hmm. They have to commit to the run and see, because here's the thing. Philly was trying to stop the run the other night. Mm-hmm. Philly was trying. They wanted to stop the run. They wanted to make, at that time, Colt McCoy throw the ball. And it didn't work. The timing was the first play that Sanchez had. He handed it to Adrian Peterson, which is amazing to me because it seemed like the coach at that time wanted to, like, settle, Sanchez down. Mm-hmm. And just hand the ball off, let him get into the flow of the game. But that's how you got to do it. You're going to have to let Peterson one of the best players on your team.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, absolutely. So don't help the defense. Remember, I tweeted during the game, the thing that Jay Gruden could do that the Philly defense can't do is stop Adrian Peterson.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, and so, people can find you on Twitter at Stanfield Kevin.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Oh, and they find me too. They've been finding all kinds of people. Man, that's another show in itself, right? You know,
Twitter. Yeah.
What I try to do on Twitter is, like, try to calm people down. I throw a couple of jokes on them. People get hostile, man. Mm-hmm. But then I try to say,
passionate about their team.
Yeah, about the team and life. And I say, hey, you know, wow, isn't it great that we as Americans can come together and talk? Some people don't like that, and some people give me a like and move on, right?
But crazy.
There's hope, bro. There's hope.
There's always hope. And so, you know, again, one reason for hope is the fact that, you know what? I know Dallas is on a roll right now, but you look at the totality of a season, they haven't given you any reason either to think that they could close anything out, and neither has the Eagles, to be honest with you. Like, the Eagles have not been playing well all season. The Cowboys have not as well. You know, and I know it's not ideal to try to even think about a playoff run or a playoff push, and you've got two quarterbacks down. But you said it before. You know, it wasn't like, and again, no one wants anyone hurt. I'm just talking about the difference in production between Alex Smith, Colt McCoy, and Mark Sanchez.
Well,
it's not as if either one of the first two guys were lighting up the scoreboard. That's my only point. Not that you want anyone hurt or benched or anything like that. My point is that will the production level that Alex Smith was able to give during the season, because let's not forget, a lot of these wins, 16-9, you know what I mean, 19-13. And so it's not like the production level of the offense was on, you know, an Aaron Rodgers or a Tom Brady level or a Drew Brees level, you know. And so what's the drop-off, really? You know, what is the drop-off?
Well, I just find it interesting that we had a quarterback on the roster the whole year, didn't know that Josh Dotson was a part of our team. You only threw him like 20 balls, right? And it took Alex Smith a little while to realize it. And Colt McCoy comes in right away. Oh, okay, Josh, you know, like, and then Sanchez finds him too, right? You know,
right.
So that there's hope for that. It maybe there are too many targets out there. Maybe you got, if you got like 18 passing options, you know, mm-hmm. the quarterback can get confused, right? Why don't we just go cut it down to like three reads? You know, if guy number one is not open and guy number two is not open, guy number three is not open, throw it out of bounds.
Right,
you
right,
know,
right.
That's not just, you know, there's just too much stuff going on, right? And we have to establish some dominance. You know, we have to be the aggressor. We have to make the defense react to the team instead of just hoping something might work. And there's a chance for them to do this. This is their opportunity, you know. This is it.
Right.
In the words
right.
of Kenny Loggins, this is it.
This
you know?
Is it.
But,
I love
it. Yeah, but the irony of the fact that your two quarterbacks both break their legs. I mean, I don't think I've ever heard of this before. You know, how is this? I mean, how is this possible, man?
How does that happen? You know, and in two distinctly different kind of ways. It's odd.
These are the breaks.
There you go. These are certainly the breaks. I mean, that's just how it seems to be happening right now for the team. And we've got a I don't want to say a special, but we've got a leg-breaking edition of Fake News that's coming up pretty soon. And we'll get to that in a second. But also more reasons to be hopeful, I think, coming up as well. Plus, we've got a winner of our Stanfield contest. Test, right?
That's
we'll
right. You know, the contest, let me refresh the memory of the faithful out there. We decided we were going to pick a Cowboy fan and a Burgundy and Gold fan to represent on the Thanksgiving Day game. And our friends at Stanfield have offered to award a special winner package, because winter is coming, and to the winner of our contest. And
the way it feels in D.C., I would say winter has arrived.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Winter is here, baby. Winter is here. So, yeah, we're going to talk to the winner of the contest, too. Yeah.
Good. All that's coming up on the Federal Football Report. We'll also preview the Giants. What I want to do right now, Kevin, is actually let's just preview the Giants now, the Giants game here.
Cool.
The Giants, 4-8 on the season right now, and believe it or not, 4-8, you know, given the way that they started, they're kind of on a roll, the way they're playing. And 4-8 may not feel like a roll, but they're on a roll. What's the Redskins going to have to do here to beat these Giants?
They can't take them lightly. They can't. Well, you know, maybe they should take them lightly, because when they try to get up for a team, they just get blasted. Right? Maybe they should just act like these guys are nobodies. That's it. Let's go the opposite, man. We're going neutral zone here. Let's go opposite. They got to act like the Giants are nobody. Mm-hmm. They're nothing. They shouldn't even be on the same field with them, and show them absolutely no respect. Make them cry, because you've seen ODB if he doesn't get his way, man. He'll have a tantrum on him, right? You know,
see
Eli, he'll curl up like like some type of, what do you call shellfish? Crustacean. He'll go back into his shell like a crustacean, man, if you hit him enough times. So that's what we got to do. We got to be the dominant ones here. We got to strike terror.
And the way you're dominant is you hit that quarterback. That front four's got to be that, well, front three. We got to do
this. Yeah, but front, that, yeah.
The front seven's got to wreak havoc. We got to stop the run. Got to put Eli on his back, and you have to establish the run. We talk about this every week. You've got to give them a healthy dose of Adrian Peterson and give it to them early. And we'll have our predictions with scores coming up in the final segment of the Federal Football Report. But coming up next, fake news or not. Also, we'll talk to our Stanfield contest winner. That's all coming up. It's a loaded show today, Kevin.
That's right.
Loaded
that's right. Show. We need
this
3 hours.
We do it.
That's
exactly.
Right.
We need 3 hours. But, you know, we'll see if we can get that pay raise. Let's talk about the money first before we commit to more time.
That's true.
This is the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network.
Well, these are the breaks. Break it up, break it up, break it up, break down.
men are wanted for their alleged roles in the creation and deployment of a sophisticated malicious software that caused more than $30 million in losses to more than 200 victim hospitals, schools, and other entities. The FBI and its law enforcement partners say Farah Mars Shahi Sabandi and Mohammed Shah Mansouri hacked into their victims' computers and installed SamSam ransomware, which left data encrypted and business operations weakened. The men demanded ransoms paid in Bitcoin in exchange for decryption keys. FBI Executive Assistant Director Amy Hess.
The criminals believe they were masking their identities on the dark web. However, this case shows that anonymizers may not make you as anonymous as you think you are.
The fugitives conducted their 34-month scheme from inside Iran.
Regardless of where a criminal resides, we will pursue.
Report cybercrime to your local FBI field office and online at ic3.gov. With Wanted by the FBI, I'm Molly Halpern of the Bureau.
For holiday shopping online, don't procrastinate. Done right, online shopping can be good for the environment, not to mention traffic. After all, theoretically, you don't need to drive to the store. But Miguel Joller, an engineer at the University of California, Davis, says his studies show that's only true if we have patience.
When people choose 3, 4, 5 day deliveries, then you can arrange shipments to maximize the use of vehicles.
Joller says it's next day or even faster deliveries that are the problem because it's hard to do that efficiently.
What we have today is many households receiving multiple shipments coming from multiple vehicles.
And worse, many people drive out anyway and window shop, then still order the products they see online.
So overall, we are adding more to the system instead of reducing.
Then there are all the returns. But Joller says all this can be addressed by things like consumer incentives and software advances to improve distribution efficiencies. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network.
To see it. We have to stream this live now.
From the producers of Federal Agency Lifeline and IT, the New Frontier.
We're streaming live in 3.
Now
two,
comes another winter blockbuster.
1.
Starring a 40-year veteran journalist and the host of The Federal Drive.
Daddy, are you a spy?
Tom Temin.
Son, we don't talk about that stuff.
And a 20-year veteran of executive branch coverage and executive editor of Federal News Radio.
Hey, we're dealing with a couple of really smart guys here.
The award-winning journalist, Jason Miller.
We gotta disconnect the servers. No, we gotta disconnect the servers.
They will never look at cybersecurity the same way again.
FederalNewsRadio.com. Experience the difference.
Rated GS 11 and above. Showing now at FederalNewsRadio.com.
Won't you give me a break? Somebody give me a break now.
It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network, 1500 AM, federalnewsnetwork.com. I'm Claude Jennings, Kevin Stanfield. Back for another segment. Kevin's got a conversation coming up with a Stanfield contest winner. It's going to be a very animated discussion, I would assume, seeing how a Cowboys fan won it.
Yeah,
we're fair and balanced here.
Yeah, we're quite happy that the radio station didn't blow up during the interview because, you know, we are partial here. I'm a fan. I admit it.
Exactly.
You know what's interesting, man? There's a ton of songs with the word break in them. You know,
well,
when I was looking for stuff, you know, for the opens, there was so much to choose from.
Well, thank goodness, because we need as many as we can get this week. Because there's a lot of breaks going on.
Mark Sanchez is listening. Yeah, right.
You know, by the way, let me just say this. When you have just kind of a camaraderie and friendship with people who are fans of other teams, it's kind of fun. It's family stuff. I have family and friends who are Cowboys fans, who are Redskins fans, and, you know, it never gets to, like, punches or stupid stuff
like that.
See by drunk fans at stadiums. but it's just fun to be around and talk a little bit of trash and laugh and rib at them, and that's a cool thing about sports and about football and about these rivalries, right?
Well, I will say it's not as much fun as it used to be.
Right. Well, it's much fun when you're on the losing end.
Yeah, it was a whole lot of fun the first 6 weeks, man. I was having a great time. I was Twittering. I was having a great time.
Well, and the good thing is that we were talking about hope in the first segment. One thing that makes you hopeful is that you know these things go in cycles. And so as you get kicked when you're down, just save up all your anger because there'll be a moment in time where this will be reversed and we'll be able to kick them.
Well, you know, thankfully I've seen it in my generation, but there are generations of Burgundy and Gold fans out there who have not seen that.
Right. Who have not experienced that.
They will, though. But they will. And it's up to us. Right?
Exactly.
you know, it's up to us. Not us meaning me and you, because if it was up to me and you, things would have changed and we'd be on top of the NFC East and have home field advantage throughout the playoffs, right?
Exactly.
It's not up to us. It's up to the people in charge, which brings me to an interesting point here. I was listening to our defensive coordinator, Greg Minuski, a little earlier, and to me, that's part of the problem right there is the defense. They're a little bit too predictable. They don't seem to know what they're doing. They were good at first, like we said in the first segment, when they didn't have the book on it, but now they got the book. And he had a press conference after the Thursday practice, and I want you to listen to these two questions and the answers that he gave. This, the first question, I don't know if you can be able to hear it, but the guy said, what are you doing to make sure that the team is all on one play? And as a direct question related to something that Swearinger said last week, was that all the players and all the coaches have to all get on the same page. And so after practice today, they asked Coach Minuski about that.
I'll go first. Just with some of these injuries and absences and shuffling around, what message do you communicate to make sure everybody's still on the same page coming into this weekend?
Well, I think that's the biggest thing is we all got to be on the same page when we go out in practice, out in the meeting rooms, you know, and especially on a game day, you know, when we're playing. Is that communication is vital, and we all got to be on the same page, and that's what we're expecting on Sunday.
Now, if you notice, the reporter asked him, what message are you sending to make sure that everybody's on the same page? His answer was, well, we all got to be on the same page.
Maybe that's the message that he sent it out. The message to get everyone on the same page is, we got to be on the same page, guys.
Maybe he just didn't understand the question. So so then listen to the next question. They asked him about what we were talking about, like people having the book on the defense. Okay, hold on.
Have you noticed that teams are adjusting off like the way they are attacking you after earlier in the season you guys were so successful?
Yeah, I think everybody, you know, they have a game plan. They're going to go through it, you know, and we have to make adjustments on the sidelines, which we do. But, you know, every team's going to be a little bit different here and there. And, you know, we work on things that maybe have hurt us in the past, and we got to work on those and get better at them. And just got to make sure we make tackles in the open field, and we got to make sure we get the ball carriers down.
Now, he had no answer to the question. He said that you were good, had success before. Do you think teams have the book on you now? Oh, well, we got to tackle, you know, we got to run, we got 11 guys on the field, and, you know, we got to sleep at night, you know?
Right.
And this is part of the problem, you know, and I'm not in the meeting rooms, but if you're a player on this team and this guy is talking to you, this is your leader talking to you every day, if you got any doubts that you might think that you're smarter than the leader.
Uh-huh.
You know, you might be smarter than the leader. But you can't think that you're more of a leader than the leader.
Right.
That's what these guys are dealing with right now. And this kind of, it worries me a little bit. And this is a make or break game for Greg Minuski and his defense.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, because again, the defense started off strong this year, but lately it's just been so questionable. And that's actually one of the statements we're going to make in our upcoming segment, because Lee just said, you know, we owe people, you know, just the truth. And this is what we're going to give you, because we give you the truth. You can trust that.
Absolutely.
And where we, you know, just put our staple as far as truth giving is on fake news or not. And so America, get ready for your favorite segment. Here it is.
It's time for fake news or not.
That's right. Three statements I give to Kevin. He lets me know whether it's fake news or not. You just talked about someone's job. I want to talk about someone else's job, Coach Gruden. Coach Gruden's job is safe because how can he coach this team to success with all these injuries, Kevin? Fake news or not?
That's fake news, brother. That's fake news. If you recall, the Super Bowl champions lost their starting left tackle last year and their quarterback, who's an MVP caliber quarterback. And did they cry and mope and complain?
No, they won a Super Bowl.
No, they only won a Super Bowl, right? You know, they only won a Super Bowl, right? So you can let injuries bother you, but then again, you can't be a cook and then complain about the ingredients, right? You just can't do it, right? You know? And I feel, you know, don't cry for me, Argentina, because he's paid. He'll be paid millions of dollars for being fired. You know? So, no, that's what that is, fake news. His job is on the hot seat. And if he knows like I know, he better throw out a human sacrifice in advance, meaning Minuski, throw him out in the water and see what the sharks do.
Well, it's interesting. I agree with you. I think that's fake news. I don't think his job is safe. I mean, if anything, it's like if you get this situation here, I mean, you've got to, now you've got to show what you're made of as far as being a coach. I mean, I say this all the time. I think that when you look down what happens in Dallas, Tony Romo made Jason Garrett look like he kind of knows what he's doing, and those off and Linehan, the offensive coordinator down there. And so when Romo got hurt the first time, and he spent most of the season hurt, and the Cowboys, I think they went 4-12 without a quarterback, it showed just how vulnerable that team is without him, or how vulnerable that offense is without
right.
him. Now when he goes out again and Dak's in, the Cowboys looked different. I mean, they scored almost every opening drive that they had the ball, and there seemed to be a game plan, there seemed to be a system at work, and things like that. And I feel like that's because Garrett and those guys had to coach. They didn't have Romo to lean on anymore. So I feel like that's the same situation here, that when things break down like that, this is when you have to show that you're that offensive guru that everyone thinks Jay Gruden is. This is when you have to show that you're worth every single penny. This is not an excuse. You can't use the injury thing as a crutch, especially when the team, it isn't like the team was, again, New Orleans Saints and Drew Breesing it up. I mean, they weren't exactly, you know, lighting up the scoreboard.
That's
and
right.
So now all of a sudden, you know, you get a player down, you're seeing kind of the same results. And so I think that that is fake news.
Fake news.
Fake news. Statement number two. Mark Sanchez better watch out because he may break his leg this week. The team's cursed. Fake news or not.
Well, I mean, the best way I can answer that.
Well, he's on the brain. Break it up, break down.
Well, I don't believe that I can be personally affected on by curses, but I don't know what Mark Sanchez, he might not have the faith I got, right? But, but no, it's not about that, man. It's about believing, man. You know, believing in yourself, right? You know, here's a guy who was out of football a few weeks back, right? You know, and you know, he had a golden opportunity. I don't know if he was the number one overall, but he was the top five pick back then by the Jets. And as a rookie, there was question about, the coach at the time, and I forget, Rex Ryan was the coach at the time, and it was believed that they were holding him back because his defense was so good, and Rex was a defensive-minded coach. He didn't want to risk the chance of having turnovers, so he didn't really let Mark loose, right, give him the opportunity. And, you know, because of that, his confidence kind of waned a little bit. But here's a guy's got a second chance, and a lot of guys don't get those second chances, right? So, you know, he's really, and if you saw the team's reaction to him, they were all rallying around him. They were all just very supportive. They said, hey, man, we know the circumstance. And his first two drives, he scored.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, right.
You know, one was handed off to Adrian Peterson, of course, but hey, they didn't do it before.
Right.
And then he led the team down to a field goal right before the half, I believe. So, I think it's not about the curse. I think that the Giants are trying to prove that they're going to be cursed, right? Mm-hmm. So it's up to him to show the world what he got.
Absolutely.
All right now.
And that's fake news. There is no curse.
So,
we hope he's fine. And, I mean, there's no slight to Alex Smith or to Colt McCoy. You know, we hope that they recover soon and healthily. I don't know what this whole infection is with Alex Smith, but hopefully everything works out for both of them and they're able to play again. Fake news.
Hey, one might say the future of the Washington Redskins lies on the butt of Mark Sanchez.
Right. Precisely. And our last statement for fake news or not has to do with kind of a serious issue, is this whole Reuben Foster thing. The Reuben Foster signing will not go down as a huge mistake by the Redskins, fake news or not.
Will not go down as a huge mistake?
Right.
Yeah.
Time will pass and it will leave the headlines and everything will
be okay.
That's
news. That's news. That's not fake news. Because, you will tell a snake by its doings, right? You know, if this is a situation that can be helped by counseling and education, and prayer, not necessarily in that order, of course, but it will be. But if these people can decide, because, you know, and I go back to the Ray Rice situation, you know, once that situation became public, mm-hmm. and the situation was known to be one that required counseling, and they received the counseling, to my knowledge, there has not been another incident.
Right.
You know, I'm
right.
talking about that particular couple. Now, every couple is different, mm-hmm. and none of us were there and witnessed any of it. I mean, since this thing came out, the victim has recanted her recant.
Recant.
Mm-hmm. You know, so we don't know. We don't know. We can only hope, right? I'm thinking like from a human being standpoint and not the football standpoint.
Right.
And I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that with like the prayer, the education, like Hulk Hogan used to say, the prayer, the vitamins, and
all that.
For everything that they're required to be productive members of society, I hope it'll be better for all parties concerned. And because of this, and because the Burgundy and Gold showed enough faith in him to allow him this opportunity, he will reciprocate.
Well, here's the thing. I disagree with you on one level. I do think the Redskins should not have signed him 2 days after he was, I believe, arrested for that. Like, I think there needed to be more time to breathe in an investigation, and he can't even play. I think that was such a tone deaf move to just like the mood of the fan base, the mood of the country, just I think basic human decency to sign him that fast, I think was just tone deaf and the wrong move. Now, on the other end, to kind of piggyback on what you're saying as far as the human element, the one thing about this is that it's a horrible thing that kind of, you know, domestic violence for, you know, these big football players be hitting on a woman,
right,
or any man.
Or a guy.
Or a guy. They hit on anybody.
Don't hit on anybody, right.
But I think when we're at a place where someone does that and we then write them off as if there can be no redemption for them and they can't go back to work doing the thing that they know to do, we need to be careful about that. And it's like you said, with counseling, with prayer, with work, I think everybody, you know, should have the opportunity at redemption. Again, but I think those two things are separate. I think that the opportunity for redemption and the opportunity for both the young lady and for himself to figure that whole thing out and, you know, like you said with the Ray Rice thing, whether they work it out the way Ray Rice and the young lady did and eventually get married or whether they don't, there's other things that need to happen that's not football related. And I feel as if the Redskins signing him just puts a whole nother spin on it where we don't care how these athletes live. If they're productive, they can get away with anything. And we see that happen so much to where, you know, and by the way, it's not just athletes in this country. If you're rich enough
or something
else enough, I'll just leave it at that.
you can
get away with stuff.
Right.
And so I think that just furthers that. And so I think that it's fake news in the fact that the awareness of the country right now is heightened, and it should be, on domestic violence, on sexual abuse, and things like that. And I don't think that it stops the Redskins organization at any point of the matter, but I think that it leaves a black eye kind of
I understand.
And folks have to, you know, you got to get out of this. Again, everyone, like, do I think Reuben Foster should never play football ever again? No, I think he should go, like I said, through counseling. I think he should be rehabilitated. I think he should get another chance to do his job. But I think that signing him 2 days after the 49ers cut him after hearing about this probably wasn't the right thing to do. You contrast that with the whole thing that happened in Kansas City.
Right.
You know, should he, Kareem Hunt. I don't want to say Tyreek Hill, but Kareem Hunt. You know, should he be able to work again? Absolutely. You know, did Kansas City react too fast by cutting him? I don't know. Maybe they could have suspended him until the further investigation. Maybe they could have said he's not going to be with the team until this whole thing's kind of resolved. We're going to try to send him to counseling. We'll see what's up. I don't know. I just think signing, that might have been the wrong move.
Well, I'll say a couple of things here. First of all, someone told me there's an expression, a Middle Eastern expression that relates to father of daughters. That's me. I'm father of daughters. There's a couple of things. There is nothing a woman can say to a guy that will warrant that. There's nothing.
Yeah.
There is nothing, right? The ultimate expression of manhood is walking away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, you know, and I spread that gospel every opportunity that I get to young men, right? You know.
Right, right.
The second thing is, you know, and we go back to Reuben Foster. What if Reuben had said, well, you know, my family and I, this is a private matter, and we wish you to respect our privacy.
Right? No, you're right.
What if he had just said that? You know, and you know, this, and denied us the story, right? Mm-hmm. That, yeah, you're absolutely right. People got to give a chance, and somebody's got to give the second chance, right? At some point, right? There is no statute of limitation on redemption, right? You know, so
and that's my thing. Yeah. I think that there is no debate on second chance. The debate is when, and
when.
Who knows when, you know, and that's just such a, you know, who knows.
Well, look, this is a guy's been given a second opportunity. Mm-hmm. Now it's up to him to prove that he deserves it, right? There it's not up to Burgundy and Gold. It's not up to her. It's up to him to prove that he deserves a second chance.
There it is. Fake news and out, ladies and gentlemen. Let's toss it right now to Kevin's interview with our winner of the Stanfield contest, Cowboys Redskins Thanksgiving. A Cowboy fan won it.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's my privilege to introduce to you now, just to recap, our good friends at Stanfield's who have adopted us, had offered us the opportunity to have a contest. And they have a special winter package they were going to provide to the winner of the contest, so it was up to us to create the contest. So what Claude and I decided to do was we were going to have a contest before the Thanksgiving game. We were going to pick a random Burgundy and Gold fan and a random Cowboy fan. And whoever won would be the winner of the contest, you know, representing their team, and they would win the package. Now, little did I know that the Cowboys are going to win, so. So, anyway, I want to introduce everybody to Sharon Jones, who represented the Cowboys on that Thanksgiving I was going to say tragedy, but it wasn't too bad for you, was it, Sharon?
Oh, it was a great game. Thanksgiving was even better.
Now, let me tell you this. Let me ask you this, rather. Now, you guys didn't start out too well this year, right? And there was, were you one of those people that said they had to fire the coach?
Yes, I was one of the ones. My husband and I were both having that conversation.
So, and then when they spent the draft pick to pick up the receiver, you know, I'm trying not to mention his name because he did it so wrong on Thanksgiving. Well, how did you feel about that when you guys got Amari Cooper?
I thought that was one of the best decisions that they have made in a long time.
I got to agree with you because they needed one. Why not?
Yes, we did.
That's like
we've lost a few good ones, and I was like, okay, we need to restore.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's like your car's breaking down, and you got the money in the bank to buy a new one, but you don't want to do it, right? You know, that's, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, well, I hated that decision, but that's... So that's good. That's good. So, okay. So what was your favorite part of the Thanksgiving game?
Really, what was funny, I was fussing with Dak a few times watching the game. But then when one of the plays wind up being favorable, then I said, okay, well, he redeemed himself. I mean, I was screaming, another dumb move. Then I was like, oh, okay, that wasn't a bad decision after all. And so it worked out for us, and I realized I had to choke my words.
All right. Well, that's good. That's good. Well, since it's you and you're such a loyal fan, I'm glad it worked out for you. Like I said, I'm a little surprised by the outcome. But I will say this, though. You know, I know you know that we've had our misfortunes in the past few weeks, and we lost two quarterbacks to broken legs, right? But see, it dawned on me today, and I told Claude this earlier in the show, you know, Dak Prescott was the third string quarterback.
True.
That's right. When Tony Romo got hurt and Moore got hurt, they put the team in the hands of Dak. They had no choice, and he did nothing less than lead them to the playoffs.
Exactly.
So
like you're having that same hope?
Well, do you see a reason that Washington can't do that? Okay, maybe I should ask you that. Maybe I should ask you that a different way. Different way.
I won't comment on that.
Okay, all right. Well,
I plead the fifth.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Okay, look, what's your outlook on the remainder of the season for both Dallas and Washington?
Well, I'll say for Dallas is looking favorable. Last week's game against the Saints was a surprise, and there was some hope. Now, I know we have to face Philly and a few other people, but there is hope. But my goal is that if we can win the playoffs, then things are looking favorable because I know Dallas has a tendency of getting to the playoffs and they choke up.
Mm-hmm,
but I think if they stay on the path that they're going right now, we should be looking pretty good.
Yeah, well.
Redskins. if that third string quarterback can do what he's supposed to do, there's some hope. Put out, but then it will be a controversy between the two of us, and so
I'm
just hoping that it's favorable, but not that favorable.
All right. well, you know, I hope you know, like I said, the people at Stanfield's have been very, very good to us, and when you get your gift, you're going to enjoy it. I know your husband's a huge fan too. I hope he doesn't enjoy it as much as you do, but you're going to enjoy it, and I'm glad that you're a very good sport over all the years that you haven't been having the good results. Also against Washington, you put up with it well. Oh, yeah, truth be told, this year was the first time Washington has beaten Dallas in quite some time. They've never beaten Dak Prescott before.
True, and in the Dallas Stadium. So, y'all had some bragging rights for a moment, and then it was returned back to its throne.
Okay. All right. Well, look, we're going to make sure that you get that well-earned present, and I'm happy that this is the longest we've had any Cowboy fan on, and I thought the radio station was going to blow up, and it didn't. So, you know, we're quite happy about that. And one more thing. You told me right before we came on that you majored in communications.
I did at Morgan State. I majored in mass communication, radio broadcasting.
Well, you know, your next logical step is to start your own Cowboys. You know, there's a lot of Cowboys fans in this area. Maybe, you know, maybe we could get equal time and you'd be interested in starting your own show. Now, you know, we'll help you as much as we can, right? But like you said, some things got to be favorable to the home team. But
exactly. You know. But no, I took a break and I guess got caught up with other things. And so I missed my opportunity, but I did major and I got the degree and everything.
Well, you never do. You know, Dak was a third string quarterback. So, you know, you come in third string radio host, we'll let you know. If Claude and I break our legs, Sharon, you're next up, okay?
But I get to talk about Dallas, right?
And maybe not. We'll have to limp in. We'll do the show on one leg. All right, Sharon, thank you so much. All right.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
All right.
Oh, that's a fun interview there, Kevin. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sharon. I'm quite happy that the radio station didn't blow up having a Cowboy fan on the air for that long. But hey, they need love too. And
enjoy your Stanfields, by the way.
Yeah,
believe
you know
me,
what?
You will.
There's no doubt about that. And she told me off the air, the husband said, well, what about me? Well, enter the contest next time.
There you go. Enter the contest next time, brother. All right. Coming up, we're going to close out the show. We'll give you our predictions and scores for the Giants game coming up on the Federal Football Report on the Federal News Network.
Won't you give me a break? Somebody give me a break now!
I'm Gigi Shum, host of Women of Washington. My show highlights the women executives of the Washington, D.C. area, how they began and how they built their career through the decades. These women are the groundbreakers and the trailblazers in their fields. They share their stories with me so the next generation executive can learn from them. Tune in Wednesday afternoons at 1 on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network, or subscribe to Women of Washington on iTunes or Podcast One.
Is that a faucet running?
That's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest. Forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
I didn't know the trees were so amazing.
Yep, and the forest gives us shade, trees to climb.
That's awesome. Let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
So, I'm a dog, and I just got adopted by this new human guy, and I'm starting to wonder how he got along without me. I mean, okay, something as simple as walking around the block. He's got this leash thing, and he puts me on one end and him on the other, and I'm just taking him around. I think he's afraid of getting lost. Without that leash and me guiding him along, I don't think he'd find his way back home. But it's kind of cute.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Keep a little talking to man, mano a mano.
Hey, Steve!
It's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Senior Correspondent Mike Causey. In Washington, we follow the money, especially since it's yours, every week on Your Turn with Mike Causey. Whether it's your pay raise, a major change to your retirement package, or the chances of RIFs or buyouts, we're on it because we know how hard you work and what it means to you. Give us a listen Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network, or subscribe to Your Turn on iTunes or Podcast One.
The Federal Football Report, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, federalnewsnetwork.com. I'm
Paul Jeff. Yeah, the break theme. You get it? Break.
You get the break theme. We're talking about breaking. Will anybody break anything this weekend? I don't know. No, we hope not. We hope no one breaks anything this weekend, whether they play for the Redskins or Giants or anyone else. But let's talk about it, Kevin. Final segment. Let's give some predictions for this game. Cowboys, Giants, what do you have?
Well, I predict one long run by Saquon Barkley, just one. Mm-hmm. And that'll be in mop-up time after the Burgundy and Gold get out to a 31-0 lead. Mm-hmm. And I predict Eli and Odell Beckham Jr. will get into a physical altercation on the sideline, and they have to be separated. And both of them will be ejected from the game by their own team. No, that's taking it a little far there.
Uh-huh.
The Giants are, like I said, we're going to have to look at the Giants like they're nothing, mm-hmm. like they're some gum that got stepped to the bottom of your shoe. Mm-hmm. Give them no respect, right? Don't play dirty, but don't play like we care. you know, the Giants are nothing. They're just in your way. So our only opponent is us. I heard Rocky tell that to Creed in the first movie. It's us against us.
Right.
They're just standing in the way. We get them out of the way and there's no problem.
There you go. Well, we'll see if that can happen. My predictions this weekend, Giants, Redskins. I've got the Giants, they'll be mad, winning 24-16 over the Washington Redskins.
They'll score
a late touchdown.
Now, let me ask you, you said that, and I saw that, I heard that reluctance in your voice, right? You know, now, how do you feel about the game going into it? Compared to how you felt about going into the Eagle game, does it make you more optimistic or not quite as optimistic knowing what you know right now?
Oh, I'm not quite as optimistic. I'm not quite at all.
Huh?
No, going into
not
the
even
Eagles
for the
game,
sake of radio.
I thought they could actually pull the Eagles game out. I have zero confidence that they're going to win this game Sunday. Prove me wrong. I hope they prove me wrong.
Yeah. It's going to take a marvelous coaching job from Coach Gruden. Mm-hmm. And the problem is, if he had a marvelous coaching job in him, you know, he would have shown it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's entirely possible. Remember last year when they went to Seattle and they had all the injuries going to Seattle and no one gave them a hope, mm-hmm. a prayer, and they played there without a doubt the best game of the year.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The same thing could happen, right?
Good.
You know, logically could happen. I want it to happen.
But we'll see.
In the words of Mick Jagger, though, you can't always get what you want.
No, you can't.
This is a very musical show today, right?
You know, music's been a big part of the program today.
That's right.
It's good.
Thank you
so much to you, Kevin, for finding all the music, playing all the music, doing all that.
It was easy.
There you go. Just look for songs and break in it. Well, we'll come back next week. We'll review this Giants game and look forward to the rest of the season. But before we go, we've got to give our Stanfield's play of the game. I think we're both going to give it to the same person.
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm giving it to Mark Sanchez, right?
Oh,
you know?
I'm giving it to Adrian Peterson.
Oh, you know
the
what?
The old man still has it.
Stanfield, he represents what it is about Stanfield. Strong and free.
That's
you know, he gets a perennial pair of Stanfields, right?
Yes,
you know.
He does.
But I'm gonna give it to Mark Sanchez, not because of the butt fumble, which I guess it counts that goes hand in hand.
He had the Stanfields,
he wouldn't have fumbled if he had the Stanfields on.
Right.
But I'm gonna give it to him because he came into an impossible situation and did the best he could.
That's right.
You know, that's all you want from any human being, right? You know. So maybe him and Adrian can share them, right?
Well, maybe not.
Yeah.
Personal thing. We'll see. We'll see what happens next week, guys. Thank you so much for listening, as always, to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network.